Welcome to That Was Wild, a Minnesota Wild podcast brought to you by Hockey Wilderness at SB Nation. I am Matthew Smith, found on Twitter at From Tape to Tape.
I'm Thomas, site manager at Hockey Wilderness. Sorry, my dog just tried to get into the room and I think she just skedaddled a little bit. Anyways, Thomas Williams. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Good. Listen, she's just really excited about the season. That's...
Yeah, are we all? It's going to be a crazy 22-23 season. I know we already talked about this, but Matt, we know, but how excited are you for the season on a scale of 1 to 10?
A 12, Thomas. A 12. It's a corny answer, but I think there's a lot of justification to be excited about this season.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stay within the bounds and not cheat and lie about being so excited. But I think I'm a solid 9. I think I'm really happy to be watching hockey again. Tonight is the regular season actually officially starts with a Rangers and Lightning
game. Are you just not, you're not counting Europe? You don't count those games?
No. It's like when the MLB played, like started their season, what was it? Seattle and someone else started in Tokyo. Anyways, I think I'm a solid 9 just because I'm really happy to be watching hockey again. And it's another year where the Wild haven't changed their roster a lot, but there is still additional players. And we'll get to that and what kind of specifics. But I think it'll just be a really fun season no matter what. Whatever happens, it'll be interesting. While they're in an interesting position where people see them as contenders all of a sudden, but they haven't won a first round in a very long time. So it's an interesting spot, but I think it just grows more intrigue as the season goes on. So a solid 9, I think.
I mean, a lot of my excitement comes from, I think, being seen as a contender in the division. Like even last year going into it, it was pretty clear that Colorado was the best team in the division, mm-hmm. possibly the conference. So this year, I think it's a little bit more even with the players that they've lost. And while the Wild did sort of do some shuffling, I think the development system has kind of made up for some of that transition stuff, losing Fiala. So yeah, they have a chance of being the best team in the division. And I don't think that was true last year, even though they were at times.
Yeah. Like it's a two-edged sort of like having expectations. Cause like, it is really fun to, I feel like last season they head into the season, there's like zero expectations. Like they could have not made the playoffs and no one would have been like, okay, that's crazy. What are they doing? But they could have won the President's Trophy, which they're just 5 spots away from winning that. So I feel like expectations are a little higher this year. So that could come with more pressure and being upset if the Wild suddenly start out a little cold. But like I said, no matter what, it'll be interesting.
Okay, well, we're going to make this short and sweet and just sort of dive mm-hmm. right into it. And Thomas, I wanted to ask you, sort of throw you some Wild predictions for the Minnesota Wild in this upcoming season with all the excitement for it. And you can sort of give me your initial reaction, see how crazy some of them are. I don't necessarily believe in all these.
Well, don't tell the people that.
But I think they're all tangible in some people's minds. So okay. Let's
for the people.
Yeah. So let's start with Marco Rossi. Okay. I think that Marco Rossi will set the record for most points by a Wild rookie.
Wait, so that's Kaprizov has how many? Because he obviously broke.
So Kaprizov does have the record for the franchise record, which is 51 points in 55 games back in 2020-2021.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is kind of low. It sounds not that it's a lot more impressive. He's definitely not going to eclipse that points per game. But I think that the expectation that Rossi, depending on where he is in the lineup, if he gets power play mm-hmm. time, especially if he develops and sticks with the team for the whole season, for him to get 60 points, I think is not crazy. it might be lofty, but it's not crazy.
Yeah, I would say it can, like you said, it depends on a lot of things, like of how progression kind of goes through. And I feel like you'd if it's something you want to keep track of, you'd have to really pay attention within like the first month. Because if he's not out of that fourth line spot within a couple weeks, then that prediction lowers and lowers. and also, I was just looking at kind of the power play, and it will. So he's on the second power play unit already, but that is also with Marcus Foligno, Ryan Hartman, Frederick Gaudreau, and Jared Spurgeon. Not the most offensively charged options available. But if he can kind of dethrone Eriksson Ek at the top center position for that first unit, and again, if he could do that in a month or two, then I feel like that's a real potential, because he could just rack up a bunch of points on the power play if he's part of that unit. Like Zuccarello, Rossi, Boldy, Addison, and Kaprizov all playing together.
Yeah, and I he's got a couple things working in his favor. Like Everson had said in a post game during the preseason that the reason that, you know, Boldy, Addison, and Rossi are starting with the team, like they're here to provide offense and they're going to be given power play time to do so. So that will definitely help him out. Yeah. And as well, I mean, the power play has been putrid forever.
Yeah.
Is that a very exact time period?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's nowhere to go but up, baby.
Okay. Well, give me your next prediction.
Okay, should next I go? Prediction.
We alternate.
You can give me yours then.
Okay. Kind of, I guess, dovetailing off your talk about the power play and stuff. And this is also in an article that I wrote today, actually, on hockeywilderness.com. About four bold predictions, and I won't just repeat exactly what I wrote, but I'll include one here. Caitlin Addison will finish top five in scoring. And this is on the Wild, not the full league. But
I was going to say.
Yeah, just looking at kind of the names of things, because also, like, I noticed massively last season, kind of in the summer, looking over stat sheets and whatever, but, like, the Wild defense went from being one of the top point producers to being one of the worst or lowest, not so much worse because people are still producing points, but just a less of a reliability on the blue line, getting points, getting goals, getting whatever, and kind of shift that up. Obviously with Kaprizov, you could kind of depend on him more, but I think Addison changes that a little bit. He probably has the best shot on the blue line already, and he'll be playing on the top power play unit. That's just like supercharged with talent. And probably getting a lot of favorable situations because I don't think Everson trusts him fully defensively yet. So you'll probably see him a lot with like getting offensive zone starts and getting playing with at home with the top line or something like that in those situations. So I think he'll probably just all the factors kind of go into him getting a top five spot because I don't think he'll start. It'll be Kaprizov, Boldy, Rossi, but then you could throw Zuccarello in there and then maybe Addison. But he's somewhere around there. But yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking like to even eclipse what the top producer on the blue line from last season, which is Jared Spurgeon, that mm-hmm. would be 40 plus points he would have to score in order to be even the best defenseman.
Yeah,
for points. But you think you're in, and you think he's in the top five. So you're, I mean, even going by last year, that means he would be outscoring Joel Eriksson Ek.
Yeah, what did he get? 48,
49. So you're thinking 50 plus points for a guy who had 4 points in 15 games last year.
But he didn't get.
It's definitely lofty. Again, I really think that the power play will probably be revamped a fair bit this year just because it really seemed to be the Achilles heel during their worst times. So I would say that I don't really agree with that. I do think that he probably gets close, but I don't see him get 50 plus points.
Wow. Hater Matt Smith, whatever.
Listen, I believe in Kalen Addison. I don't think that Dean Evason believes in Kalen Addison.
Whatever. Dean Evason, hater of the month.
That's
a new article.
that's blog.
We will be right back.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Okay. What's your next prediction?
My next prediction is that the Wild don't miss any production from Kevin Fiala. Put that in layman's terms. I think that the production that the Wild have lost by moving on from Kevin Fiala is sort of replaced by committee through essentially Matt Boley developing, maybe Marco Rossi stepping into it, that sort of thing.
Interesting. So, like, you're saying, obviously, it kind of goes hand-in-hand with Rossi getting 60 points or whatever. But, yeah. So Fiala scored 85 points, 33 goals last year, while playing with Boldy and everyone.
By the way, the quietest point per game season ever recorded.
Oh, I know. He finished 8th in Calder-Roden. Oh, wait, Fiala's?
Yeah.
No, I know. Because no one really cared. It's tricky because I think he provided depth. Like, he could kind of depend on a line and kind of just by himself. And I feel like you'll miss that on the power play a little bit. But also, yeah, like, it's not as big a deal as people kind of thought when they initially traded him, especially with Rossi just making it and suddenly in the preseason leading the whole NHL in scoring in the preseason for some reason.
It's because he's super talented and he's going to set the franchise record.
Yeah, not just for any reason. Okay. Should we move on to my next one?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think this one's as bold. And again, it's one from the article, but it is that Kaprizov finishes his season with the trophy. It's not crazy because people are also saying it already that he's a Hart contender and Art Ross contender. More so Hart because everyone's looking at the Wild and be like, he will drag this team like scoring 150 points into the playoffs. But I think he still finishes. He kind of carries that reputation as kind of the key cog in this whole machine, that he gets a real nomination of the Hart. And I think if someone drops off, if that's McDavid, if that's Matthews, MacKinnon, McCarr, whatever, I think Kaprizov can kind of run with it if he plays all 82 games.
Yeah. I think that's tough. I think you'd be banking on some bad seasons from some very good players. That includes like you basically like, I think the only way that Kaprizov would be, I know I realized that your prediction was not just the Hart, but if we were say to win the Hart, it would have to be like, he'd have to beat up MacKinnon, McDavid, Matthews, probably McCarr. And I just like, can't see that happening unless that's a lot of injuries happening in order to make that work. But
yeah, but like it could also just be down seasons. Like what if Matthews, I know it's banking on a lot, but it's like, it's also Kaprizov we're talking about, who like might not be on the same level as Matthews or McDavid, but like is right up there.
Yeah. You never know. Maybe he gets really involved in the community and he wins the King Clancy Award.
Yeah.
This season. Yeah.
Ted Lindsay, he's loved by his compatriots.
He could be. He could be, because I can't really see him filling out any of the other ones. It'd have to be a rough year for a lot of people. Not that he doesn't have it in him to do it, you know? I believe in him. It's the same as the Kayla Hudson stuff. Okay, we'll move on to my next one. Yes, for Walsett, sets the franchise record for most wins by a rookie goaltender. This one is lofty. This is lofty, and this is banking on a lot of stuff going wrong and also right.
What's the record right now? Do you have it in front of you?
I do have it in front of me, and it's going to make it sound even more implausible. It's 31.
Is it Backstrom?
No, it's Kakanen.
Oh, it was like 18?
31.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I don't think Gustafson's getting... Yeah, Gustafson's not even playing 31 games, probably.
Yeah. it's a lot. That can't be right. Just a second. That legitimately can't 31? Be right. It can't be 31. There's no way he won 31.
Well, Kakanen was that weird thing where he was technically a rookie, but he was like in his...
Right. Like, so I guess in a season, it would be 23. Which is plausible.
Because
he played 54 games as a rookie, which is because he was a rookie forever.
He's played 54 games total for the Wild.
As a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
All across of them were as a rookie. So
okay.
Josh Harding... might actually have it. Nope. Because he played a ton as a rookie too.
What about Backstrom?
It's gotta be it has to be Kakanen, sorry. No, it's not Backstrom.
Backstrom was a really old rookie.
Yeah. So he might not have actually
maybe he didn't count as a rookie because he was 28.
Yeah, so it's either I'm looking at like the full list, and it's got to be Kakanen, because Josh Arting is the next leader for rookie wins as a goaltender, and that's 16. So it's probably Kakanen with the 23.
Wait, I'm seeing here. He's only ever had a 16 win season and a 14 win season.
You he has 23 correct.
Game starts.
I'm the NHL website is very not in line with itself.
Okay, I'm looking at Hockey Reference. Kakanen 2021, like 2020.
16 would be the 16 would be the top
16 because he also was in Calder voting, so I feel like that counts as a rookie season. So 16 wins, which is not crazy.
Kakanen
he only played 24 games to earn that, so like, yeah.
I mean, what I'm banking on is Gustafson not panning out, because there's Fleury. I don't have a whole lot of faith in Fleury being able to be the clear cut starter, mostly because of workload. I don't think he can start. I would be surprised if he starts more than 50 games, which means that your backup is leaning on that a little bit.
Yeah, like I think you're really kind of predicting that Gustafson doesn't pan out. And then also it'd be a Fleury injury. They don't like Gustafson. They call up Walstad over Zane McIntyre because the rookie's playing so well. And he's like doing crazy things. But I feel like even in that situation, they'd still call up McIntyre.
Yeah, they probably
just
would.
Just because they don't want to are too precious with Walstad. So they Zane McIntyre's not injured.
Yeah,
Zane McIntyre's injured.
messed that up.
Hunter Jones is injured. Fleury's injured. Gustafson's bad. Walsh comes, saves everything.
All he needs is 16 wins. Could take him 17 games. We will move on to the one thing that you're most excited about this season then.
I think the one thing is to see kind of this, it might be a cop-out because it's just so broad, but see this young talent play. Like even guys like Tyson Jost and Sam Steele that are playing up the lineup and up and more and have this opportunity that's kind of open for them and hasn't really been anywhere else playing with these type of players and just playing in Minnesota. I think it's just really kind of this turnover that we're seeing and kind of mid rebuild, retool, whatever, kind of while still competing. And I think it's a really unique situation that they're in.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see what Sam Steele does. I realize it sounds a little crazy to say this before going into a season. I'm quickly losing faith in Tyson Jost. he's getting gray in the beard for a prospect. So
he's not super young, but
Sam Steele, fine. I'm excited to see what he can do. Cause I agree with Evason, as you pointed out in the article that you put on the site.
Yeah. MichaelLennis.com.
Yeah. he hasn't been given all the chances. So I'm interested to see what he does. I'm most excited. Same thing. I want to see Matt Boldy.
Yeah.
I want to see what
full
he can
season
do.
Matt Boldy.
A full season Matt Boldy. Some power play time more than he was given. And I want to see what happens to Kevin Fiala without his Matt Boldy security blanket.
I have we're in the same fantasy league. I have Fiala in the fantasy league, so I hope he's great. I just realized one final hot take could have been that Boldy leads the Wild in scoring, but that could have been great.
That is a very hot take. That is so hot. I'm going to have to end this podcast.
Boldy wins the Hart Trophy.
So this is going to be a new thing for Hockey Wilderness. We're going to put out one of these a week to sort of fill your ears with the content that you can't read. So we're really excited about the season. We hope you're excited about it too. And we hope that you're excited about what Hockey Wilderness is going to do this season.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a carousel of guests. It won't just be me. It'll always be Matt. But if you're sick of my voice,
maybe there's going to be times where I won't be around. Who knows?
Oh, God. Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Again, I've been Matthew Smith from Hockey Wilderness.
Oh, yeah. I'm Thomas. Thomas Williams. My manager. Okay, bye.
Bye, everybody. Okay.